Kaylee Thompson is the author of Deadliest Sea, a book that just came out about the Alaska Ranger rescue. She writes for a number of publications, including Popular Science and Popular Mechanics. Yesterday, she spoke with KUCB about her book, The Coast Guard Response, and how to keep tragedies like that from happening again. Thanks, Kaylee. How did you first become interested in the story of the Alaska Ranger?
Well, it was actually sort of a coincidence. I happened to have an assignment for Popular Mechanics to write about professional rescuers, and it just so happened that the Alaska Ranger tragedy happened at the exact same time that I was researching that story. So I definitely became interested in it initially from the rescuer's perspective. I was able to call up to St. Paul Island, get those guys on the phone from the Lorraine station up there, and, you know, talk to them about it just within the first couple days after, you know, after the sinking. And the story that I wrote for Popular Mechanics was very focused on the rescue. So that was what first got me interested. But then as I started to meet some of the men who had survived the sinking and got to know some of the Coast Guard rescuers better, I got very interested in just the people's background stories and what had brought all these men, you know, to sort of be in that spot at that time on that day.
In your book, you talk about the loss of the rudder contributing to the sinking of the Alaska Ranger, but you say that wasn't the only problem. Could you explain what exactly happened?
Well, the National Transportation Safety Board and the Coast Guard, as some of your listeners may know, ended up convening what they call a Marine Board of Investigation into the sinking, and that's kind of the most in-depth, formal type of investigation that the Coast Guard conducts. Unfortunately, the Coast Guard has still not released their findings on that sinking, and the NTSB, though, did so last September, and their report is available on the internet for anyone who's interested in looking at it. And they concluded that the single most likely possibility is that one of the ship's rudders actually fell out from the bottom of the boat. And that was also what was reported at the time. I mean, the officers on board the ship had, you know, when they had been radioing with some of the other FCA trawlers and also with the Coast Guard, they had said, you know, we dropped a rudder. We think we dropped a rudder. Though, you know, there was some level of uncertainty because, of course, no one actually saw it happen. They just saw the resulting flooding. But the Marine Board conclusions, you know, definitely concluded that that wasn't the only problem. Obviously, that was the biggest problem, the initiating event of the flooding. And then from that point, there were a number of problems with the watertight integrity of the ship. Ideally, if the rudder room compartment had been fully watertight, the Marine Board concluded, investigators concluded, that the flooding would actually not have sunk the ship, that it should have been able to be contained at that level.
You also talk about how the ship went into reverse after the power went off. Could you explain why that happened?
Basically, this boat, the Alaska Ranger, had originally been built in the early 1970s as a supply vessel for oil rigs, actually, in the Gulf of Mexico. And for a period of time, it was common to build boats like that with a type of propulsion system that's called CPP, Controllable Pitch Propeller System. And the idea was that if the vessel unexpectedly lost power, it would automatically shift into reverse. And the point of that was that so it wouldn't rush forward and ram into an oil rig, causing, obviously, potentially a lot of damage. That type of construction, I think, fairly quickly went out of style, but there have been a number of other incidents where similar things happened with other ships, you know, where the boat lost power and then shifted into reverse, surprising a lot of the people on board. So that seemed to be the case in this incident, and tragically, you know, some of the people who did not survive the sinking of the Alaska Ranger were the most senior officers on the ship. So, of course, it's impossible to interview them and ask them exactly what they knew and when they knew it. But it seems as though they probably did not understand how that system worked, because it was, in fact, possible for them to, you know, to turn off the propulsion to stop the ship. And in fact, they didn't do so. It remained going in reverse as the men were trying to get off the boat.
Do you think anything could have been done to prevent the sinking of the Alaska Ranger?
Well, I mean, I think that the, you know, this initiating event, the dropping of the rudder, I mean, it's from all the people that I interviewed, this is quite an unusual scenario. And it's actually, I mean, there's really no way to ever know. The Alaska Ranger sank in over a mile of water. I don't think anyone's going to be footing the bill to, you know, send an ROV down there to try to check out exactly where the hole is. But there obviously was some sort of major breach in the stern of the ship. And, you know, I think it's impossible to say that that's the result of anything other than poor maintenance over time.
Have you seen any improvement in safety standards since you started writing your book?
No, I mean, no tangible changes. There is actually legislation pending before Congress right now, and it's part of the Coast Guard authorization bill, which I'm told is soon to be debated in committee. And it's very unclear, I think, what's going to happen with that legislation. But, you know, there certainly are people, safety advocates, who have been working for more stringent seaworthiness standards. You know, not just for boats out of, you know, not just for the Bering Sea fleet, but nationwide. And that's been going on for many, many years. So, you know, there are some people who are hopeful that something more is going to happen now, you know, when this bill is passed. But I think it's really hard to predict right now whether or not that's actually going to happen.
In your book, you advocated for more stringent safety standards. What response have you gotten from fishermen on this?
Well, I think some of the fishermen who are part of this story, you know, would be in favor of it because they want to see the boats be safer. And in fact, I know some of them are following it, but those are more people, you know, processors working on the boat, the lower level factory workers and such. You know, I think vessel owners obviously are concerned about the added costs and bureaucracy associated with, you know, any sort of additional federal legislation. And obviously, there's already a lot of bureaucracy associated with the fishing industry between, you know, all the laws actually governing the fisheries. So, you know, it's clearly a trade-off between what are the costs going to be. What is the time requirements going to be to bring these boats up to a higher standard of seaworthiness versus how many lives is it going to save? And I mean, it seems to me the evidence is clear that it would be saving a lot of lives, which makes it worthwhile.